Hello and welcome to the Start Creating podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping you grow on social media, from YouTube to Instagram and so much more. I am your host, Alan Spicer, your YouTube certified expert. I have around about 12 years worth of experience in this industry, from web development to social media marketing and video editing in itself. This podcast will be about news, tips, tricks, and your submitted questions should you need any help within the social media space. So follow, subscribe, enjoy the ride, go out there, start creating. You are a small YouTuber, you are looking to smash through that YouTube algorithm and get it to work on your behalf. Make it your ally, make it push your videos into the face of other people and grow your channel. Here is what you need to know on how to beat the YouTube algorithm as a smaller YouTuber. First of all, what is the YouTube algorithm? Now, it's this mythical beast that everybody seems to think rules the world and is against you and specifically trying to put your channel out of business, specifically hiding you away from the rest of the world, even though you've got the best videos ever. But what it actually is a very advanced collection of mathematical formulas. I say a collection because there isn't one specific algorithm. It is a collection of many that interact with each other. Whether it is external sources coming to your channel, whether you are trying to rank in search, whether it is you're trying to push yourself into suggested and get onto the browse on the homepage, whether you are being suggested for specific terms, whether you are being related to other channels. The common misconception about this is that it's a giant checklist of about 20 things. That if you used to figure out every single point on that checklist and do 20 out of 20, you'd immediately become PewDiePie and poof, you've got a brand new channel and millions of pounds in the bank. That's not how the algorithm works, Jimmy. But if you're able to understand how the algorithm could work, this is when you get to see your videos be risen and shown on your homepage, the trending tabs, in your search pages, on the suggested section on the right hand side of your videos. So now we've dispelled the myth of the algorithm, what it is in general, what is the goal of the YouTube algorithm? The core focus of the YouTube algorithm is customer satisfaction, viewer satisfaction, and length of time on the platform. After all, the longer that they are on the platform, the more videos they can watch, the more people they can discover, and yes, the more adverts can be played against those people or services that are sold to those people, whether it happens to be a YouTube Red premium upgrade, whether it happens to be adverts that are being bombarded to them because it is connected to their behavior, whether it's a membership, whether it's a super chat, whether it's a t-shirt. All of these things happen to be things that YouTube will take a cut of. Overall, YouTube needs you to stay on the platform for as long as possible. So what it's trying to do is put in front of you things that will extend the length of time that you're on the platform. And they do this by matching you to content that they believe you would be interested in, intrigued by, based on your previous watch time history, your subscriptions, your likes, your dislikes, anything that is trending that vaguely touches upon those. So obviously, if you understand what they are trying to do, and you're able to lean in to help the algorithm do those things, then it's more likely to put you in suggested and search and recommend it. It's going to continue to feed you in front of people because they know that you are a tried and tested method of getting search or external traffic or extending the session watch time or engaging in some kind of interaction with the platform. That's the behavior that YouTube wants to see, and they're more likely to promote the things that do that for them compared to the ones that don't. So what are these things we need to do? How do they pick your video? Why do they recommend you over anybody else? So there's a little bit of storytelling here. Back in the day, in the good old days when Charlie bit my finger and Leave Britney Alone and other things like that, YouTube heavily lent upon views. In fact, you could buy a load of botted views, and then because you've got up through the rankings because your video has 10,000 views compared to someone with 2,000 views, your video would rank higher because it had more views. It's not how the algorithm works now though. In 2016, YouTube shifted its algorithm to lean towards better metrics, much more customer, client, viewer focused. This means that they started leaning towards average view duration. Session watch time was key. This is when you started to see people leaning away from the viral candy of a 2-minute video and started swinging towards vlogging for 10 minutes or 10 minutes and 1 second. These longer videos garnered longer watch time. This is why gamers were doing well. This is why vloggers were doing better, because those videos happen to lean into that longer format. You can't stretch a how-to video on how to fix a spark plug from the 3-4 minutes it's supposed to be into a 15-minute long epic. It just doesn't work. Now, YouTube swore blind that the 10-minute videos didn't really make a difference, but it did by metrics alone. The idea that if it's a 10-minute long video and you can engage them for longer, if they watch 50% of a 1-minute video, that's 30 seconds. If you watch 50% of a 10-minute video, that's 5 minutes. That's 5 minutes of watch time, and watch time was favoured more heavily within that environment, so therefore it would rank a bit better, it would get more engagement, it would get pushed. And that is the core bedrock of currently what we are leaning on today. That is why right now, if you used to have a look at search, it's not ordered by the amount of views. You don't go to search and have the 5 million views one at the top and then trickling down to the bottom. You can see small channels with next to no subscribers and a few thousand views ranking above a video that's a little bit older but has millions of views. Now, along with session watch time nowadays, we are now leaning into quality watch time. This means that they need to be engaged with your video. They need to be interacting, liking, commenting, sharing, but also watching as much as they can whilst doing so. This is a surefire way of YouTube knowing that not only are they watching it, but they are truly engaged in that content. It is truly a good video. You're not just sat there waiting for 10 minutes because the big YouTuber told you that, right, do me a favour, this video is going to be 15 minutes in length. What I'm going to do is talk for the first 2 minutes and then disappear for 10 minutes, and then right at the end I'm going to give away something. But there's going to be a little code somewhere in that 10 minutes if you're just watching blank screen. See, it stops people gaming the system if it's quality watch time rather than just non-quality watch time. And now this quality watch time gives you the chance as a small YouTuber to manipulate the system, to hack and beat the algorithm for your benefit. Because your audience would be more engaged with you, it may be smaller, but they may be more willing to watch and share and feel more connected with you. So once you've leaned into all of that, how does YouTube specifically pick you and make you go viral, make you blow up your channel? YouTube focuses very muchly on the amount of engagement that a video gets within the first 48 hours. This is why it's got its own little card area on your dashboard. You know the thing that says, this is how many views you got within the first 3 hours. This is how many views you got within the first 12 hours. After 24 hours, it compares you to other videos within your back catalog within your last 10 videos. This way, it shows you the velocity you have on launch. And the more engagement you tend to get within the first 48 hours, the more it resets or teaches YouTube the potential of that video. Now, I'm not saying that if you get a poor showing in the first 48 hours, you should just give up. Many videos will continue to grow over time and continue to grow going forward. I've got many videos on my channel that did piss poor to start with and are now possibly even the biggest videos on my channel. It's all about metrics. It's all about behavior. The first 48 hours is crucial for the initial ranking, the initial trust of that video from the YouTube algorithm. It monitors you very carefully in that first 48 hours. So if you can drive as much traffic as you can within those first 48 hours, those first 2 days, engagements, comments, likes, replies, shares, tweets, anything you can, then it lifts the possibility that it will get much higher views over time, because you're driving more behavioral metric within the first 48 hours for YouTube to trust you. Assuming that you perform really well within that first 48 hours, this is where the magic happens. The YouTube algorithm looks at what it can push to next. Now, in the good old days, the YouTube subscriber box used to push out all of your videos to all of your subscribers. It doesn't do that anymore. What it does is it fires you out to your notifications, a selection thereof of your notifications, and then over time, over the coming hours and the coming days, it will slowly drip feed you out to more and more of your notifications, more and more to your subscriber box, and then into browse, onto homepage, into recommendations. At this point, it's trying to learn from you what kind of engagement and click-through rate you can get, because it needs to know from you that if it's going to show you to 1,000 people that you are going to outperform the nearest rival to help you rank higher. If there's 2 identical videos uploaded at exactly the same time with the exact same thumbnails, both get 1,000 impressions, but this one gets a 15% 10% click-through rate, and this one gets a 2% click-through rate, the 15% click-through rate is more likely to be pushed in an identical case study. Also, if, once again, going back to two identical videos, once again, if these two videos are exactly the same, but this one gets 60% audience retention, and this one gets 10% audience retention, there's a chance that the 60% audience retention will be pushed higher. It's more engaging. There's something in there that people love. Now, I know these are extreme examples. There's no way that you're going to upload two identical videos at the same time, with the same title, on the same channel. It's just not going to happen. But the YouTube algorithm is based on these metrics. They're looking for the engagement, the click-through rate, the average watch time, the comments, the likes, the shares. And if you don't perform the way that YouTube needs that video to perform, they'll just switch you out for another video. This is where you and somebody else that have similar topics battle for that engagement. Let's say I upload a video and vidIQ uploads a video on exactly the same thing at around about the same time, and their thumbnail's a bit better, and their engagement's a bit better. They will rank better than me. Or maybe I look at a video that they do and then I tweak it. I make it a little bit better than them. Maybe my video is a little bit younger than theirs, a little bit more engaging than theirs, then I will outrank them. So you've heard me say audience retention a lot. What's a good audience retention rate? Now, this is the thing that everybody bangs on about. Now, when I first started, I was terrible at this. I'd have my video trailer right at the start, and I'd get like 100%, it'd drop down to like 40%, and then it'd trail off, and everyone would get bored. And by the time you got to the end of the video, I'd have 15% audience retention. That means 85% of everybody that ever came to your video is now gone. Poof! They got bored before you got to the end. This means there's only 15% of the people that you can pitch to click into your next video, to prove to Google and prove to YouTube that you've got some kind of engagement. Now, it does depend on the length of the video. It does depend on the style of the video. It does depend on the content within the video. There's a lot of ifs and buts and whens. I tend to aim for anything above 50% audience retention if I can over the entire length of the video. For me, this might mean that my YouTube tutorials run about 2-2.5 minutes, do much better, and I get in, I deliver my promise, and I get out as soon as possible. Let's be honest, if you're typing in how to get an end screen, once you've found out that you've how to add that end screen, you're gone. But if you're a vlogger showing 12, 13, 15 minutes of your day, you want to keep them engaged, you want to keep them trundling along as much as possible. This can all be affected by the way you edit your videos, the pace, the graphics, anything that overlays like B-roll. The average rule of thumb for longer videos is 25-40%, and these are videos over around about 10, 15, 20 minutes in length. But once again, this isn't gospel. These are just the figures that I'm aware of from my client coaching base. And the sweet spot for shorter videos of anything around about 5 minutes or less would be as close to 70% retention as possible. Now, I know these numbers sound amazingly out of reach, but what you do is you go back, you look at your videos and have a look at where you're losing people. Is your intro right at the start of the video killing off 20% of your retention? Get rid of it. Are you slow? Are you erring? Are you umming? Is your music too loud? Is there a point where you cut to B-roll and it dips? Have a look at your audience retention graph and see where you are losing people, and in their next videos, don't do that again. Over time, over 100 videos, you'll be able to make a much better video on video 100 for audience retention than you will in video 1, because you're learning all these little nips and tucks, the things that you can and can't do, the speed that you are doing, the energy that you put behind your videos. Now, over time on my channel, I've had a wide range of audience retention, so your old videos don't affect your new videos. Don't worry, each and every time you put up a video, it's a new swing at the algorithm. All you need to do is try and engage the people that are there, and depending on the niche that you are in, you know how you can engage them. Whether you're asking them questions, whether you are throwing funny things up from the game that you are playing, whether you're zooming in on very technical standpoint things, when you're knitting or you're doing like DIY, have a look at those analytics, have a look at how your audience engages, because every audience is unique. And as long as you can pander to your audience, they will stick around for longer, engage for longer, and help you get picked within that algorithm. Search. Now, this is something that I'm a monster of. I deliberately went out of my way when I first started this YouTube channel to optimize my videos as mini blogs. I'd been in the web development world for 11 years before I touched YouTube. So my brain had been wired to understand that the title, the descriptions, and the tags all need to sing the same song, all need to bring people in to that video, all need to be found within a search engine. A very large amount of the traffic on my channel, around about 60 to 70%, comes from search alone. Why? Because I'm a utility channel. You type in how to blah and I give you an answer and you disappear. However, if you happen to be people like Mr. Beast, Jake Paul, Philip DeFranco maybe, all of those may be related on trends or suggested traffic because they are relevant to topics that happen to be happening right now. Why is search important? Well, if, just like me, you struggle with your first 48 hours to get that huge velocity of tens and thousands of views, because in my case, I'm teaching that one lesson that's very important and influential for you and somebody else in 3 and 10 years' time. I don't get that velocity straight out of the gate. But what I do with search is I teach YouTube that that video is worth trusting by behavioral metrics over time. My videos don't blow up on day one. My videos blow up at day 30, or day 60, or day 100. And this gives me a backbone to my channel. So search is still very important. And what do you need to focus in on search? You need to make sure that the keyword that you are aiming for, that you want someone to search for in the search bar, is in the title, the first two lines of your description, and then in the tags, there are relevant twisted versions of that, how you would specifically think to search for that. How to change a spark plug. How to change a spark plug in a Nissan Micra. Changing spark plug. Spark plug repair. All of these are very similar to the keyword that I want in the title, but you focus on one specific keyword to echo through all the tags, and then you write the description around similar tags. Whether you use the timeline chapters to spin in other keywords, whether you happen to write a blog post underneath the video, perfectly fine. But the search term is the thing that people would be searching to find that video today and in the future. That's why search is powerful, because if you rank for search, there's a chance that you'll continue to drag in those views all the way into the future. But if you're only focusing on, say, the baby shark today, in 3 years' time, maybe nobody cares about the baby shark, we hope. Now, it's no surprise that one of the core tools that I'm going to suggest when optimizing your titles, your descriptions, and your tags is vidIQ. There's a link down below. It's a browser-based plugin that is free. I'm not here to sell it to you, but basically it's there to help give those inspiration, that suggested tags, those juicy bits of details that you might want to weave into your description, that you might want to add to your tags to boost it, to build out that audience, to make your spiderweb a little bit bigger, to catch more flies, to get more eyes on that video. Now, at the start of 2020, I had 9,000 subscribers. As of right now, the start of September in 2020, I had 22,000 subscribers, over doubling the size of my channel. And it's all because as long as you get this in your head and you understand what the algorithm is looking for and you feed that wonderful beast, then it will help you grow. So understand what the algorithm happens to be. It's a collection of many computers working on your behalf. Understand what it's trying to do, which is extend the amount of watch time, the amount of engagement on this platform to keep people on here for as long as possible. Push people further into YouTube, whether it's your own videos or other people's videos in themselves. Try and get them to engage and like and share your content and YouTube platform content. Don't push them away from the platform. Make sure you are creating content that is engaging, that keeps people watching you for longer. Remove all the fluff, remove all the things that kills audience retention. Make sure you're asking questions that people can answer. Optimize your videos for search. Your keyword in the title, the descriptions, and the tags, maybe even use something like vidIQ to really compound that, so that way you're in front of their noses not only now, but in future. The only reason I've grown so much this year is because I had 3 years of back catalog content that was still optimized and was still being found in search. If you can juggle all of these, you can beat the YouTube algorithm. You can get more subscribers. Watch this video on how to improve your audience retention. I'll see you in the next video. Thank you for listening to the Start Creating podcast. If you want more tips, tricks, and advice from Alan Spicer, that's me, then go to youtube.com/Alan Spicer and subscribe. You can also find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. See you soon. Go out there, start creating.